Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is the daf Lamed Aleph. And we were holding in the middle of the sugya over here, and let me just remind you, we're holding still on Lamed Amud Beit, because we had a problem. And that is that the Mishnah told us that in the event that there's a suffix in the Kiddushin, or a suffix in the Gerushin, where you have the question, was this woman a Tzarat Erva or not? So did the Kiddushin of the Erva, did it actually take place? Or maybe it wasn't a good Kiddushin. If it took place, then she, of course, would not be Chayevet in Yibum at all. Not Yibum and not Chalitza. But if it didn't take place, so then she's just a wife. She's not a Tzaras Erva. Or vice versa. Suppose there definitely had been a marriage to the Erva, but before her husband dies, he had given her a get, and we had a suffix about that get. So now it may be, according to the opening Mishnah in the Masechet, that her husband had gotten rid of the erva before his death, and therefore she is no longer a tzaras erva, and therefore she should get yibum. But on the other hand, if the get was not a kosher get, so then if she goes ahead and she would think that she's actually a real tzara, a real wife and not a tzara serva, she would be over on an iser karet if she goes ahead and takes the yibum. So therefore, the Mishnah said, in the event that we're not certain about her status, is she a tzara serva or not? So then well, let's make certain that she doesn't get yibum, because maybe she is a tzara erva because of the suffix kedushin or because of the suffix gerushin. And if she is a Tzarat Erva, we cannot give her Yibum. On the other hand, she may not be a Tzarat Erva and be Chayevet in Yibum, and therefore she's not allowed to marry out as a Yevama Lashuk. She's not allowed to marry out to an Ish Zar. And because of that, let's get her Chalitza, and everything will be fine. And then the Mishnah goes ahead, and it lists what is considered to be a Suffolk Kiddush. So we had that funny case yesterday, a Suffolk Kiddush, where this guy is like, at the edge of the personal space, the Arba Amais, the edge of the Arba Amais of the situation where she is standing. And it's her Arba Amais that are going to end up making this a Kiddushin for her, because the star or the ring falls within her Arba Amais. And it was a Suffolk, whether it was still within his Arba Amais. That's the case of a Suffolk Kiddushin. But then when it came to Suffolk Gerushin, the Mishnah, instead of saying the simple equivalent case that he threw her a get when it was a Suffolk Korov Lo, a Suffolk Korov La, which is a classic example of a Suffolk get, instead of doing that, the Mishnah talks about all kinds of problems in Gittin, not Sveikas. So it's just like, let's say a guy wrote the get in his own handwriting, but he doesn't have witnesses. Or let's say he left out the time of the get, even if he does have witnesses. Well, let's say he only has one witness, although he does have the time. So what in the world, the Gemara wanted to know, what in the world is the Gemara doing? Why is it that when it came to the case of the Kiddushim in Suffolk, we gave a simple, straightforward solution to what it means to talk about a Suffolk in Kiddushim? But when it came to the Gerushim, we avoided giving that case. And apparently, for some reason, that case would not have been a satisfactory solution, because in that case, we would not have even required chalitza, apparently, for some reason. And the only reason that we do require chalitza is because, well, the get was not up to par. So as far as even though Midiraisa was a kosher get, but the Chachamim didn't like a get like that without Zman. They were Metaken Zman, and they didn't like a get that didn't have Edom that was written in the guy's handwriting, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what is wrong with the same case in Gerush? Fine. So what we learned yesterday was, and we just review this again from the third line after the Gemara on Amud Beis. So Rabba explained it, right? And Rabba said, well, look, this woman is becheskas heter l'shuk. In other words, this tzara that we have over here, it was before this happened. She used to be in a matzav before the get. So then everybody says, okay, well, if her husband dies, she is going to go ahead and marry whoever she wants because she's got this Erva that's married together with her. So obviously we're not gonna have a problem with her. And now all of a sudden, because of this suffix karov la and suffix karov la with the get, so now you want to say, well, you know, maybe the get was a good get, and therefore she's not a tzaras erva. Now all of a sudden we should switch her status completely, and we should say that as before we were waiting for her to go ahead and marry whoever she wants. Now, all of a sudden, well, I don't know anymore because of a suffix. You can't do that. She has a chazaka that she is mutara to get married to everybody. Now, you want to change the status quo, and you want to say that maybe something changed the status quo? Whenever we have a chazaka, we follow the chazaka in maintaining the status quo. And Abaya said to him, but then that would be true about the Kiddushin also, wouldn't it? I mean, this case, this woman was married without any erva with her. She's a real wife. And therefore, up until this morning, when her husband went ahead and threw this ring at that other girl, who is an erva. So now, up until now, she was going to get a normal yibum when her husband died. Now, all of a sudden, you say, well, no, I don't know. I mean, maybe her husband actually had married the sister of his brother's wife this morning and then got a heart attack after he found out what she looked like. I mean, then he got a heart attack. And now you want to asser her. So don't asser mitzana sefik. Says the Gemara, you're 100% right. She really has a chazaka. We would not actually asser her. And the fact that we asser her and we say, look, she can't get yibum. She should only get chalitza. That is a chumrah, because actually, mitzad hadin, there is a chazaka, and the Rabbanan didn't like that. Why didn't they like that? Because, look, there's actually a machlokas achronim, why they didn't like it. Let's take one approach, which is that the point over here is that people might not understand that the reason that the tzara over here was taken in Yibum was because there was a suffix in the Kiddushin. So they might not know about the details of the suffix of the Kiddushin. They know that this guy had married this woman and he threw her a ring. So they might decide that Tzoras Erva is Mutera to be Miyabim. So because of that, we said she shouldn't be Miyabim. Now, later on, we're going to ask, why don't we do the same thing in the case of the Gershon as well, if we're going to be Machmer. So why not answer will be Machmer by the Gershon? We'll talk about that. This is where we got up to yesterday. And basically what it's saying is that according to Rabba, the truth is that she really, mitzad hadin, would be able to get Yibam. This whole thing is a Chumrah. That's where we got up to. Now, what the problem that we had is, and today is, we're just starting this, so this is our new issue, that asks the Gemara, you can't make a chumrah like this because it's a chumrah that might lead to a disaster. We don't do chumrahs where they might be catastrophic, because let me explain to you why it could lead to a catastrophic iser karis, okay? Because let's say, we're saying over here, we're going to give this kedushin validity to be machmer. That's what you're saying, right? But the thing is, let's imagine a case where the same guy who did the suffix kedushin went ahead and gave a 100% kosher kedushin to the sister of the one that he had given the suffix kedushin to, right? Or let's take another case. A guy just comes from the marketplace and he gives her a kedushin. Because he says, well, I don't think that first kedushin was kedushin. I'm going to get her before they actually allow this guy to give her the kedushin. And then that guy died. So he went ahead and he gave her his own kedushin. Now, what happens is that then when the guy died, they answered the tzara in Yibum, right? So then the guy figures, oh my gosh, apparently the Rabbanan did view that kedushin as a good kedushin. And therefore, there was no kedushin whatsoever. Not in the first case where I was Mekadesh the sister, because, I mean, obviously, if the same guy would go ahead and was Mekadesh the sister, So then there would be no Kiddushin whatsoever there, if now we're going to say that. And therefore, what's going to happen now that we see that she's a surah to be miyabim, so people are going to say, okay, that means that there must have been a real Kiddushin there. And if there was a real Kiddushin there, then that would mean that the second person to give Kiddushin was a joke. She was an Eishes Ish. Why in the world should we worry about it? So then we would end up allowing her to go ahead and marry without ever getting a get from the guy who gave her the Kiddushin. Because, I mean, obviously, if it was a real Kiddushin, then the first one wasn't Kiddushin. So then why in the world wouldn't we have viewed that Sara as a normal free Sara? So obviously the Rabbanit thought it was Kiddushin. So since Midyaraisa, we have a Chazaka over here that we should ignore that Kiddushin, and it was only on a Chumrah. So now we would say, okay, what's really happening over here is that the guy's Kiddushin is a kosher Kiddushin, the second guy, because she was not really married to the brother with the Sara. And this is going to mess up people being Matir and Eishes Ish without a get. I mean, it's a disaster. You can't play games when it comes to the question of defining a marriage as a Chumrah, a marriage, because then the fact that that marriage was a Chumrah is going to cause another marriage that was done with her to be ignored, and that would be Lakula. That's the bottom line. So therefore, Taina Zabaya, what kind of explanation is that? You can't create situations where you're going to be wrecking other people's lives. Answers the Gemara, well, what are you talking about? How are we going to wreck other people's lives? Did we or did we not demand that she gets chalitza, right? So we are treating her as if she is not really a Tzoras Erva. We're saying that, look, you know, she needs chalitza. I mean, if this was a real marriage, whoever heard of a Tzora requiring chalitza if she's really a Tzoras Erva? And therefore, people will say, oh, must be it was one of those problems in the Kiddushin. She wasn't really a Tzoras Erva, because otherwise, why would she get a chalitza? So who's going to make an idiotic mistake like that, to think that a woman that required chalitza, that we know for a fact that she was actually not a Tzora and that the Kiddushin was good? That's ridiculous. Wait a minute. If that's ridiculous, okay, I understand what you're saying. But now let me go back to the original question. Remember, the question was, why are we treating a Suffolk Kiddushin differently than the Suffolk Gerushin? That was our question. Why, when it comes to Gerushin, is a real honest-to-God Suffolk? Suffolk Korov La, Suffolk Korov Lo, that's not considered to be a Suffolk Gerushin that would make us give Chalitza. We wouldn't give Chalitza. Only the Suffolk Kiddushin. And we answered, in honesty, there's no difference. That's what Rav is claiming. Really the same case, but we want to be machmer on the case of the Gerushin. What is that? I mean, in machmer in the case of Kiddushin, where even though it's a Suffolk, will be machmer. You could say the same thing with the Gerushin. Even if it's a Suffolk, be machmer. And what do we go wrong? Why don't we list the case Suffolk Korov Lo, Suffolk Korov La, and say that over there you need Chalitza, and people will know that it's only a Chumrah, because, I mean, if it was actually, she really was considered to be in the state of Gerushin, so then she would have been able to get Yibum. And over here, you're insisting she can't get Yibum. So obviously, we don't know that this was a real Gerushin. It's the same answer, isn't it? Now, listen, guys, it's obviously not the same answer. It's ridiculous how different it is. In the first case, we were taking a known Tzoras Erva and giving her Chalitza. So people will say, what? There's no such thing. You don't give Chalitza to a Tzoras Erva. So it must be she's not a Tzoras Erva, right? But in this case, we are taking someone that always we thought was a normal non-Sarat Erva and therefore needed to get Yibum, and And we're saying she can only get chalitza. Great. So people see she only gets chalitza. So what do they think? They think, boy, this guy was sure right not marrying her. She looks like a dog. I mean, why in the world would they think the reason that he doesn't give her chalitza, that he doesn't give her yibum and give her chalitza is because the poor guy can't give her yibum? That's not the same thing. Obviously, if you're giving chalitza to a tzaras erva, you're proving something to people. If you're not giving yibum to a yavama, you're not proving a darn thing. So it's really a very funny question. I mean, it would have to be that what we're assuming is that when it comes to these cases, people babble a lot. And therefore, and we saw this before, that people are going to ask, how come he didn't take her? Remember, how come the brother did take her and this guy didn't take her? And the whole thing is going to come out in the conversation. So we must be following, Abayas following that logic, which he himself basically assumed earlier. And that is that, look, not being able to give yibum is also a hokhacha to people where I'm limiting you to chalitza. And if I limit you to chalitza, so then it proves that I don't really know what I'm doing. So then if you don't really know what you're doing, why don't you know what you're doing? Because there was a suffix. Suffix korovla, suffix korovla. So we're back to our question. Why could we not say that? Say the case of gerishin is the same suffix. Say that we're only being machmir because we're dealing with this issue of a sveika, the araisa over here, and we don't want to rely on the chazaka. And as far as the machmir is concerned, nobody's going to make any errors thinking for sure it was a get because they see that we won't allow them to do yibum. No, I'll tell you what the problem is over here. In this case, if you say, give her chalitza, so then one guy who says, hey, you know, she's really gorgeous. I always wanted to marry her. Thank God we got rid of my bum brother. And now I get my chance to marry her. So I say, but you're not allowed to marry. What do you mean I'm not allowed to marry her? I'm supposed to give her chalitza. You don't give chalitza to someone you're not supposed to marry, dum-dum. So he goes ahead and he does chalitza. We saw, does yibum. We saw this problem before. And over there, he could be pogea in an isakaris, right? And therefore, it would really be in this, if we're saying over here, that we are going to rely on the chazaka, then it's not maybe karas, it's vadai karas. Because we're only going through the motions here, because in reality, according to what Rabbi said, we have a chazaka. And that chazaka tells us that he would be chayev karas. So that's the reason. Wait a minute. So why isn't that, you're driving me crazy over here. Why isn't that the reason in the case of the suffix kedushin? You told me over there I should give chalitza. Maybe you'll give yibum. Yeah, and tell me the big tragedy if maybe you give yibum, please. What was the situation over there? You were supposed to give yibum, remember? Because the chazaka tells us that this kedushin was not kedushin. She was in a matzav where we're supposed to get yibum. That was the whole question. Why don't we follow the chazaka? So we said, because it's a chumrah. Thank you very much. So therefore, what's going to happen? What's the big tragedy? If a guy goes ahead and says, well, they said I could do chalitza and this girl is gorgeous. I want to do yibum. Go right ahead. You think it bothers us. We're only pretending that it bothers us. But in reality, you were allowed to do yibum and we're supposed to do yibum. We were just being machmer on you. So what's the big deal? The guy went ahead and he's going to be over on Isser Kuris. He's going to over on an Isser Lav. He's going to over on an Isser Asay. Nothing. He's just going to be over on the takana the Rabbana made that people shouldn't make a mistake. Thank you. So now I'm going to make a takana against that takana. Come off it, man. So therefore, titya bein, bein bekachlum, what do I care? A chazaka kakaina. Anyway, there's a chazaka. So even if she would be mityabemet, it wouldn't matter to us at all. Now, the problem is that we're going to have a Mishnah later on that speaks about precisely Sveikas, and these are real Sveikas with real Chazokas, and it does not seem to support what we're saying over here. Because as Abaye points out to Rabbah, if you believe that we can do Chumras in this issue without risking the Chumras Shabali de Kula and somebody else is making a mistake, how do you understand this mission? Okay, we've got a guy who is married to his niece. So he married his sister's daughter. They're calmly living in the house, having a cup of Starbucks when the earthquake strikes. The house collapses on both of them. They're both killed in this great tragedy, just as they're drinking their Starbucks. Most people thought that was the tragedy. But okay, so what
is that why Rebbe's avoiding drinking and doesn't want the association? I give Rebbe a bracha. Wonderful.
Now, who died first is the big problem. Because then the question is, if there was another wife and she, believe it or not, didn't like Starbucks, which is why this guy had married this other niece. So now the question is, who died first? If the brother died first, and then a moment later, the niece died, so then that meant that at the moment that the brother died, there was a case of his own daughter being presented to him. The surviving brother is now presented with his own daughter in Yibam for that one instant. And therefore, neither of the wives that are married to his now deceased earthquake brother require Yibam because it was a classic case. His own daughter together with another woman who is a Tsara. That's the opening Mishnah. Tsara Serva. Fine. So I don't know. So what do I do? On the other hand, if the niece died first, then at the time that his brother died, he was presented with a perfectly valid non-Sarat Erva, his brother's other wife, which is perfect for him because he also doesn't like Starbucks. And because of that, he should Dafka have to be Miyabim her. So what do we do? So it says over there in the Mishnah, if the house collapses on both of them, and we don't know which one was the first casualty. So then what we do is we do chalitza and we don't do yibum because we're chayshish for the possibility that actually she was a tzara serva, because maybe the niece, the daughter of the brother, maybe she actually was kayemet. Therefore, it would be an isser koris, right? Fine. So now, according to you, my dear Rav, I don't understand how you understand this Mishnah. Why don't we say, we have a chazaka up until the earthquake. This Isha was becheskas heter l'shuk omeretz. Was 100%, neither of them are supposed to get yibum. It's a classic case of a tsaras erva. In this case, it's an ervas habat. The woman who would have fallen to the surviving brother, she is his own daughter. Now, all of a sudden, you're saying, well, I only thought that up to 5 minutes ago. But now, after the earthquake, now I'm not sure what happened. So, Misafek, you want to go ahead and say, no, she's not allowed to go marry anybody. You first have to do chalitza. So why don't you say, Al Tasrena Misafek, don't answer her just because you don't know what happened. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, what's with you, man? I told you already. Yes, you're right, 100%, but we want to be machmer, okay? So we're being machmer in these kind of cases, not to be semech on the chazaka, and therefore to give chalitza. I knew you were going to say that, right? But over here, you do not have any basis for saying that you don't have a problem of a chumra da'ati l'day kula. Because in this case, if you're going to claim that she needs chalitza, so then people will say, okay, so if she needs chalitza, apparently we know that it was the niece who was the first casualty. Why else did they say they need chalitza? People don't know that it's a chumra. Says the Gemara, listen, there's two possibilities over here, but there's a tremendous difference. Will you tell me the last time you were faced with the case of two people that died in an earthquake, and there was a question whether it was Taurus Erva or not? I mean, come on, man. You know, the last recorded instance of this kind of situation was in the year 248 BC. Now you're going to tell me that the Rabbanan, therefore, had to go and make a takana. We don't make takanas for cuckoo cases, all right? So we're not going to be machman. That's a general principle that we know. That's a klal. So therefore, that's one possibility. Now, in the event that you, studying the archaeological records, and it was discovered that in Barnea's neighborhood, this kind of thing happens once every 16.3 years. So then, all right, I'll give you another answer, okay? The other answer is like this. It's obvious, isn't it, what the difference is? We have the case where it was Suffolk Korov Lo, Suffolk or of Lot. You're telling me, right? Okay, so over there, we're worried that people are going to be utterly cool, and we have to actually work it out that it should. We ended up saying, if you're going to allow her to be chaylets, people will be miyapin. Why? I'll tell you why. Because people have a right to assume that if the Beis Din says that a tzaras erva requires chalitza, then what that means is that they discovered that she is not a tzaras erva. How did they discover she's not a tzaras erva? They brought the Edim that were there and had seen the Maisa. They measured very carefully whether it was Korov Lo or Korov La, and they found out that indeed it was a kosher condition, whatever the case is, right? And what are you going to say over here? People will say they must know. Yeah, right. They must know. The Rabbanan somehow turned the clock back, put video cameras into the house, and they discovered that, in fact, the other one had not died first. It's ridiculous. Everybody knows the Rabbanan don't know. So therefore, what they understand is, well, I guess they're being machmir because of a suffix. I mean, who would be stupid enough to say that this was a real Psak Besdin who found out who died first? So therefore, where you're talking about the case of Gerishin, over there, you've got the Erva, the Kaima Erva. We've got an Erva over here. So we know that she was an Tzaras Erva. Now you're saying, Afapiken, you need Chalitza. So people will say, well, obviously the Rabbanan figured out that this Gerishin was a good Gerishin and that she wasn't married at the moment that they died. And because of that, they may actually come to be miyabin the tzara. But where you have a collapsed building and an earthquake, for heaven's sakes, who's going to think, but people are going to make the mistake of believing that the Rabbanan managed somehow or other to go back in time and to find out exactly what happened. So therefore, we don't have that problem at all. Even though Doc is with us, and Doc actually could take us back in time, perhaps under certain circumstances, given the right vehicle, that is not considered to be muhach. Okay. So now, Gabe Gerishin asks the Gemara, I got another problem with you. You're telling me we left out the case, the obvious case of a get with Suffolk Korov La, Suffolk Korov La, because we couldn't have given you Chalitza in that case, because it would have been possibly Kivan Shecholat, somebody may come and do Yibam. That's what you're saying. Guess what? We actually have a Mishnah in Gittin. You weren't looking at Gittin, but you should have looked in Gittin, because over there, guess what? It talks about exactly that case, okay? And it says that you do need chalitza. Now what are you going to do? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, because vatnan, I tell him, edit Rosh Hashanah. So here is this girl. She's standing in Rosh Hashanah. This is his wife. He throws the get to her and runs. Now it was Suffolk Korov La and Suffolk Korov La. So, all right. So if it was Korov La for sure, it's a good get. If it's Korov La, it's for sure not a good get. But suppose it lands right in the middle. So then the halacha is, well, since we don't know, we treat her in certain ways as if she was Megureshet, and in other ways as if she's not Megureshet. In what sense? Lamai Hilchata. So then we started explaining the Mishnah. In what sense? Well, if he's a Kohen, so now he is not allowed to sleep with her anymore because she may be a Gerusha. So he can't take her back now. And if she was an Erva, and before there was a tzara, and there would not have been any yibum, dig this case, man, the halacha is that she's going to need chalitza, that tzara is going to need chalitza, which is exactly what you're claiming you can't do, because imata omer choletzet mityabemet. That's exactly what you said. We can't do a chalitza mitzara chumra, because then people may end up doing the yibum. So how come the Mishnah says that you do chalitza? And she does actually, even though she's asura to be miyabe. So how do you explain that? Answers the Gemara, but you forgot. In that Mishnah, remember that Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both came along and explained what exactly what do we mean when it was a suffix korov lo, suffix korov la. It wasn't that we have one group of people who come along and they say, we're not sure what happened. No, it's talking about that we have two completely opposite sets of witnesses. That's what it's talking about. Each one who claims to know 100% what happened. But one says Karov La and one says Karov La. Now, in that case, you've got Shteki Te'edim, Achat Omer Karov La, Vechat Omer Karov Lo, and over there you've got Esveka Dioraita. And Esveka Dioraita, now that's a whole different situation. If we've got Esveka Dioraita, so then since we've got a suffix over here that we can't rely on our Chazaka for, but this, there's no way that we can ever be mater her without Chalitza. Because if that would be the case, then for sure, if it would have been Drabbanan, we wouldn't have said that. Because if it was Drabbanan, we would have said, okay, we're not going to risk a Yibam. But now that we're in a matzav where we must do something about her, because we're not going to be able to say Chazaka over here, so therefore she needs Chalitza Midioraisa. Now, the question is, why can't we add the Chazaka to the case here as well? Why can't we say that since there is two against two witnesses, that leaves us with a suffix Dioraisa, fine. So now we have a din of Chazaka. The din of Chazaka is also Dioraisa. So what's the problem? Why would we say that a Chazaka b'mokom edim would not help? And the truth is, it's a big machlokus whether that's correct to say that in all cases it would not help. And the basis of that machlokus seems to be the following. But as the Reb Kiveger points out, the idea, and the Reb Kiveger speaks out, not here, but in the Chiddushim, he speaks out the two sides of this problem. And it's a very beautiful insight into the nature of the way that the halacha relies on chazaka. We've spoken about it many times in different contexts. Is a chazaka an assumption of a reality? If it's an assumption of a reality, so in other words, we're saying, being as this was the case, then we view it as inertia. The inertia tells you that things did not change unless a force was applied and you are not aware of that force, right? But then if that's the case, remember that Edim are actually looked at as if they're doing the same thing. Now, remember, obviously, a chazaka can't really tell you reality. But as the Rambam points out, Edim also don't really tell you reality because you have absolutely no reason to believe one word that an Ed says. Humans are insane and their memories are formed every minute new. So why are we listening to them? Says the Rambam, we're listening to them because the Torah said, proceed on the basis of what it is that these people said as if it's true. Fine. So that's true about a chazaka as well. Proceed on this basis as if it's the definition of reality. Now, let me ask you something. Suppose I added another 1,000 people on the side of the two witnesses that say it was definitely close to her. Would that make a difference? Would we say because there's 1,000 people saying it was close to her and only 2 people saying that it was close to him, would that make a difference or would it be precisely the same suffix? It would be precisely the same suffix because that din of witnesses is a din in 2 witnesses or 10 million witnesses. It is not a din in the weight of people's memories because it does not change the insanity of people's memories. And therefore, it doesn't change the pure halacha. The halacha is that this is the din. You follow the Edim. What's Edim? The Edim is a group of people. How many? 2. What if there's more? Makes no difference. So what good is the additional, so to speak, testimony of the inertia of the chazaka? You're not going to add more than another 1,000 people, are you, by having the chazaka? It's the same idea. We cannot define the greater likelihood of something maintaining that status by adding additional likelihoods. But suppose a chazaka does not work that way at all. Suppose we understand chazaka the way other mefarshim understand chazaka, namely that obviously there can't be an inertia where an event has changed something. So why would we rely on the chazaka? The chazaka is a halachic fiction in a sense. The chazakah means that the Torah says once a halacha was defined in a particular way, do not change the halacha until you know for a fact that it's different. It has nothing to do with telling me, well, since this was the status until now, probably this woman died later. Why in the world would that have anything to do with it? So it's simply a way to act. Well, then, if we have two sets of witnesses, one against each other, and we're left with a suffix, so then it's a classic case of a chazakah. You don't know what to do because you've got two contradictory sets of witnesses. Maintain the halacha as it was until now. That would be the difference in whether we look at a chazakah in the place of Edim or not. So therefore, what we're saying over here is, since in the case in Gittin, we were talking about where we've got two witnesses, meaning two sets of witnesses, a cut of Edims, where achat omeret korov la, achat omeret korov la, that creates a sveka d'oraisa. And Masha Enke in the Mishnah over here is talking about where we have one group of people. This is the way Rashi understands it. We'll learn it this way, where we have one group of people and they don't know. They say, look, we were there and we don't know what happened. So over there, we have really the sense of a sveika, which is not the same as the suffix that we have. We have a sveika d'rabbanan, where we do not have any basis to say that. This is, I shouldn't say that, what I said, that it's Rashi. Because Rashi understands that the case over here is, because we're using this lashon of Sveika d'Rabbanan, Rashi, and I sort of snuck in one of Tosis's approaches in the middle of claiming it was Rashi. But in reality, what Rashi learns is that we have one cut in which one witness says that it was close to her, and one witness says that it was close to him. And therefore, they cancel each other out because we don't have any edus whatsoever. And because of that, we're left with a sveika d'rabbanan. And the Tosis doesn't like that because he says that if you have one witness that cancels another witness, it means you have no witnesses at all. So it's hakasha. Therefore, if once you have it's hakasha, then you're left without anything that has to do with witnesses. Okay, so they understand that the case is that we have witnesses, and witnesses are mesupak what happened. And therefore, in this case, we rely on the chazakah. Asks the Gemara, but what makes you say that? Is there somewhere that it says that the Mishnah over here is talking about only a kat echad? And that's why we're going through with this chumrah? Says the Gemara, yes, because it has to be. You're talking about the case of Gerushin, right? Well, the case of Gerushin has to be similar to the case of the Kiddushin. Just like the Kiddushin is obviously talking about only a kat echad, so the Gerushin is the same case, right? What? How do you know that Kiddushin is talking about Katachat? The Kiddushin is talking about Katachat. Where do you see that from? Kiddushin Gufayu. Who says we're talking about Katachat? Why can't the same exact case be the case of the Kiddushin? Two witnesses say that the star of the Kiddushin of the ring actually landed closer to him, and the other ones, the other two witnesses say, no, it landed closer to her. Says the Gemara, now here too, there's big differences in Girsaot and how to learn. We'll follow Rashi. Says the Gemara, whoa, because if we're talking about over here, the Kiddushin, we're talking about two Kitei Edim. So what would you care if we go ahead and give her Yibum? Why do you say you can only give her Chalitza? Let her get Yibum. And then Ein Bekach Klum, you should keep her Chazaka. The Chazaka says that she's Ruya for Yibum. And therefore, forget about the Kiddushin. What? You know, you're staying here, you've got two witnesses right in front of you, and they are claiming that it was Karov La, and it was a good marriage, and that actually she's a Tzaras Erva, and you're saying, what do you care? Let her be Mityabim. I thought, didn't you just say a second ago that in the event that you would have two Edim that contradict each other, you would not be able to use the Chazaka? So if you can't use the Chazaka, you're saying, let her go ahead and get Yibum. Worst that's going to happen is she'll be high of chorus. Thank you very much. What kind of idiotic thing is that? But At Amrit, you turn around and you tell me, well, what's the problem? Let her go. Let her get Yibum. So therefore, we also must be talking about over here that there were not two Kitei Edim. And besides, Bishtei Kitei Edim, if that's the case, why would we not? What kind of answer is that? It's also a sveika d'rabbanan, because if you have two against two, uketre, leba'ad etre, and leave the woman on her chazaka. And because how do I know that we would do that? Because there was a guy who was a well-known maniac in the sense that he had a lot of psychotic episodes. He was basically a manic depressive who had psychotic episodes. While he was normal, he was very normal, but they called him Mr. Nuthead. Barshatya, his name was, the nut, because all of a sudden he'd be talking to you, go into a psychotic episode, and without, God only knows what he could do, right? So there, what's the halacha of a guy like that? So a guy like that, while he's normal, has all of the rights of a normal bar das. If he's going through a psychotic episode, then anything he did during that time is considered to be the work of a shota and therefore does not have any validity. So suppose this guy goes ahead and sells you his house, right? So now his lawyers are claiming that he sold you his house in the middle of a psychotic episode and therefore forget about the sale. And your lawyers are claiming that no, he was perfectly normal at that time. And we have exactly that mice where we had two witnesses on each side. So this guy, Barshatya, sold someone his house. And then Atu Betre, two witnesses come, and they say he was perfectly normal at that moment, Kishu Cholim Zabin. And another two witnesses come, and they say, no, he was off his rocker. You should have seen the way that guy was. He actually was hanging from the ceiling when he signed the contract. I mean, forget it. It's not a sale. And Rav Ashi says, okay, so then what you do is you balance out the two, uki trei lahade trei, we cancel out the witnesses. We had a chazaka up until now that the owner of this house was Mr. Barshatya, right? So leave it there. The ara ukma becheskas Barshatya, the real estate remains in Barshatya's chazaka the way that it was before. So isn't that the same thing with this? Therefore, says Abaya, look, I don't like your whole approach over here. I'm going to tell you a completely different reason why the Mishnah did not say that the case of a get was suffer korov la and suffer korov lo. I don't go for all of this crazy stuff of making a chumrah, but only making a chumrah in the case of the kiddushin. And I'm going, what? Why? I think I've proven that. And I say it's very simple. There never was a question. The Mishnah never meant to imply that, well, you cannot say with the case of the Gerishin, suffer korov lo, suffer korov la. Of course you could. It's exactly the same case. The only reason that we gave one set of cases by Kiddushin and one set of cases by Gerishin is because we wanted you to apply all the cases to all of the situations. So we gave you an example of one thing by Kiddushin, which was suffer korov lo, suffer korov la. And then we gave you an example of other cases by Gittin, which had nothing to do with suffic, but which had to do with not really valid midrabban on Gittin. And we wanted you to understand that when we were talking about a suffic, obviously either in the Kiddushin or the Gerushin, we also included semi-valid shtarot, like they didn't have witnesses, but they were written in your handwriting, also by Kiddushin and also by Gerushin. Well, what's the big deal? That's all. That's called Yagid Alav Re'o, based on the Pasuk in Iyov. Yagid Alav Re'o is this principle. It means that sometimes we will use one set of examples in one case, another set of examples in the other case, and we rely on the healthy intelligence of the reader, says Abaya, the healthy intelligence of the reader to understand that that's all the Mishnah is saying, and it's not saying you only have this set in case A by the Kiddushin, and you only have this set in the case of the Gerushin. It's true about both of them. Now, would you not admit that that's a lot easier than all of these rigmaroles? And oh my gosh, you had me dancing through the hoops with chazaka, trey v'trey, chad v'chad, chumres, osu v'dei kulas, issues of imato mercholetz, yubi miyabim. I mean, my head is spinning from your complicated explanation of the Mishnah. Elegance, my friend, elegance. The Mishnah never meant what you thought it meant. And everything now fits directly into place. Tana b'kiddushin, it said the case of suffer korov lo by kiddushin, and intended for the reader to understand that it would be exactly the same in the case of the gerushin. And it said the case in the gerushin, and it trusted you to understand that the same thing would be by true kiddushin. Says Rava, yeah, brilliant, brilliant answer. And how do you explain the fact that Zehu. Why then, if each one was meant to tell you what the din is on the other one, why do we end up saying Zehu Safek Kedushin? And in the cases of the Gerushin, we say Zehu Safek Gerushin. You're telling me we bedafka are listing these cases because we want you to understand that it applies across the board. And so in order to make sure that we definitely apply it across the board, the Mishnah says, don't apply it across the board because this is only cases that would apply to. I mean, go explain that to me. This you call an elegant explanation of a Mishnah? To my Zehu Diktani, I'll tell you a different shot, okay? Says Rava. The truth is that all cases that would apply to Kiddushin, namely Safek Koravla, Safek Koravla, could apply to Gerushin. But as opposed to what Rava claims, right, I say that it goes across all of them, like you say, Abaye, but it is not a case of Yagida Lavreot, because Yesh Begerushin, Masha'in Bekidushin. There are definitely cases which create a problem in Gerushin where the equivalent problem does not exist in Kedushin. So that we'll have to say that the Zehu in Gerushin, when it says this and only this applies over here, it did not mean to say that, but not Safek Koravla, Safek Koravla. No, 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 no. That's not what it meant. The reality is that it does include Safek Koravla, Safek Koravla. The only reason that we used the word Zehu was because it had to say Zehu by Kedushin, because by Kedushin, indeed, this is the only case, because the cases by Gerushin would not apply for Kedushin, and I'll explain to you why. And since we needed to say Zehu by Kedushin, we did also say Zehu by Gerushin. Why do I explain this in Kedushin? Very simply, because, look, suppose you would say that Yagid Alav Reo, okay, like Abaye is saying, then that would mean that if you have a Kedushin, remember, you can be Mekadesh and Isha with a contract, right? Okay, so that's the first Mishnah in Kedushin. So suppose a guy writes a contract, Hareyat Mekudeshet Li, with the shtar, and it didn't have a date on it. Okay, is that going to be a problem? No. No, because Kedushin doesn't need a date. So if Kedushin doesn't need a date, then I couldn't possibly say that the cases of Gerushin would apply to Kedushin. Now, could I? Okay, so therefore, by Kedushin, I said, look, by Kedushin, you have to realize that what we're talking about with the Suffolk is just a real Suffolk. When it comes to Gerushin, however, we're not talking about only a real Suffolk of Suffolk Korovlo or Suffolk Korovla. We are talking about even cases where, not only, but even cases where we've got a problem in the structure of the contract. And it boils down to needing to do the same thing. Only do lechomra to give chalitza. Don't do lekula to give yibam. That's all the Mishnah is saying. Because if there's lema'ute zman, there is no such thing in a shtar kedushin of zman. Now notice that he only mentions, Rava, the case of zman. There's a big machlokas rishonim, whether that means that the other two cases, like writing it biktav yado without edim, would that also be okay for kedushin? Or is that also a problem for kedushin? That's a big issue. But let's focus on our gemara. So why is it that when it comes to gerushin, the rabbanan said there must be a date in a divorce, but when it comes to kedushin, you're claiming that there is no takana of needing date in a marriage? Now there are two very different explanations of why we insist that a divorce is dated. So one man, the Omar, says the reason that a divorce is dated is because the nichse malug, remember malug means plucking, the nichse malug, which is property that a woman brings into a marriage where she continues to own that property, and the only rights her husband has to it is maluk. He can pluck it. That is to say, if it's a field, he can eat the produce of that field, right? Now, suppose he writes her a divorce. The halacha is that from the moment that he writes the divorce and he's planning on divorcing her, pow, that's it. the Mulug was never given to him under those circumstances that the relationship is breaking down. And therefore, say the Rabbanan, if you're going to go to a court or a sofer and you're going to get a divorce written, that divorce has to be dated because the date on it is going to allow the woman who gets that divorce ultimately to sue you for anything that you took out of her field from that date. And if we don't write that date in, then you'll lie and you'll claim, well, I just decided to divorce you this morning, not 2 years ago, and therefore I had a right to take all of that stuff for the past 2 years. So that was a takona to allow, to protect a woman, to make sure that it's peiros, right? So that would be one reading. So therefore, what would be the point of writing a date in a contract of kedushin? A contract of kedushin only creates erisin. And the din is that if you're only creating erisin and not nisuin, then there is no din of peirot at all. A baal does not have rights to peirot just because he is legally married to the woman. He only has rights of peirot where he is married in a way that's b'chaya v'ktuva. The reason for this is that, as opposed to what people think, that it's all about husbands being bosses and so on, that is not the truth. The reason that a husband has a right to the wife's peirot is because he provides her insurance, which is only part of the tna'im of the ketuvah. So it's only a tna'i ketuvah that one of the things that the ketuvah allows, even if it's not written, is that in the event that she is kidnapped, he provides insurance for ransom up to any amount. And because of that, in exchange for that right, she pays for that right by allowing him to take the produce from her field. And by the way, just to remind you, in these eras of women's rights, that the woman can take any of those dinim and say, forget your insurance and forget taking my peirot. That's fine. This is just the standard, right? Okay, so then if that's the case, you know, obviously it depends if you live in Mexico and Venezuela or if you live in a civilized country. I mean, if you've got serious problems of kidnapping, this is a very valuable insurance. Truly it is. So anyway, but getting back to the idea. So if I'm going to only have a case of ketuvah providing you with nichsei malug, so then therefore, there's no point in making a date which you're not going to be able to collect anything from anyway, because you're only an arusa with this contract. But
that was one reason. What's the other reason?
But I just said, according to the Man D'Amar, I'm up to that point in the Gemara, but according to the Man D'Amar, who says that the reason that we write a date in a get is because we're afraid that a person who marries his niece, so he likes his niece, and it turns out that his niece doesn't like him so much, and she's been messing around with another guy. Now, the husband finds out about it and finds out that there are Edim on their way to the court to testify to this illicit relationship and to get his dear beloved niece, who is no longer his dear beloved wife, but she still is his sister's daughter, and he's trying to protect her. So what does he do? He quickly writes out a divorce. And when they come to get her killed in Beis Din, he says, my niece be killed in Beis Din? Would you honestly think that my niece would fool around with a guy while she's married? Here was the divorce. She knew that she was divorced. When did you give this divorce? I gave this divorce 2 years ago. The whole time she's been carrying on with him. Let's see the date. There ain't no date. Okay. So then if that's the case, said the Rabbanan, in order to make certain that divorces are real divorces and not cover-ups, so we put a date into the divorce, right? So if that's the case, then it's because of this issue should be the same issue with Kedushin, no? So that if she goes ahead and sleeps with another guy, she should not be able to say, well, I wasn't married yet. What do you mean? Let's look at your marriage contract. Here. When was this written? This morning. What? Where's the date? There is no date. So why not be mitakena date for the same purpose? Says the Gemara, well, first of all, I mean, look, lots of people are Mekadesh a woman with rings, okay? So what are you going to do about that case where the woman claims that, no, you know, I got married only this morning. You're going to put a date on the ring? I mean, there's no way to cover this problem anyway, right? So therefore, the Rabbana didn't bother being metakein zman because we're not going to be able to deal with this problem anyway. I don't understand. And in a case where you're buying an eved, and that purchase gives you a right to everything that the eved owns, right? And over there, some people buy an eved with cash, some people buy an eved with shtar. And the halacha is that the shtar does need a date exactly for that purpose. I don't understand. So even though there's people that you'll say, we can't protect from anything. So you can't, you do what you can. So they're going, yeah, but that's because most people, but this is how Rashi learns. Tosis learns that we're talking about a get shichrur of an eved. Fine. Because obviously, why are we talking about an eved? We can talk about anything. We don't have to talk about an eved. Okay. But in any event, this is Rashi's approach. And there, when it comes to an eved, most people buy an eved with a shtar. And therefore, we can cover what we can by insisting that it's dated. But most people do not bring a legal contract in order to marry a woman. They make it nice and they give her a pretty ring and so on. And like, it's a whole romantic thing. Can you imagine what they're going to say about the guy who brings a contract? Hareyat mekudeshet li b'shtar zeh, witnesses, do you see? Look, it's signed to such and such a lawyer and such and such. Oh, God. The mother-in-law is going nuts. This is what this guy is bringing to the world. I can just imagine. So, okay, so it's not that kind of thing that you're going to be able to protect. So what, you have 2% of people, and because of that, you're going to be gozer zman, where it doesn't do anything anyway? Or I can give you another reason. I cannot prevent cover-ups by a kedushin. You know why? Because what would you want to do with the contract to keep the contract safe? If we give the contract to the wife, what she would do is simply erase the date, right? Cut off the part of the contract that has the date and then say, I only got this morning. What do you mean? Where's the date? Oh, remember the Nixon recordings? I accidentally pressed delete. Get out of here, you accident. Go prove it. What do you care? Can you prove that I was married? No. Okay, bye-bye. All right, so therefore she's always got this idea. Now, if we're going to leave it by the husband, then we got the other problem. What happens if this wife is his dear, sweet niece, right? So he might want to cover up for her and to claim that he only married her this morning and that the testimony that she's been sleeping with this other guy is irrelevant. Where's the kedushin? Here. What's the date? Oh, I accidentally pressed delete. So he could do the same thing, right? Should we leave the actual contract? We'll say, okay, so let's deposit it with the edim on the contract and they'll keep it. And then in the event that we need the information, we will contact the edim, right? No, we can't do that. Because look, if the edim remember the event, then we'll just call the edim into court. Why would we need to give the contract to them? If they will not remember the event on their own, we do not want them to have the contract. Because you know what happens? They look over the contract. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Bull. Because basically what's happening is that you're using the information that you wrote in the contract to construct a false testimony. You're walking into court and you're saying, I remember this event happened on the 20th of June and so on, right? 32 years ago. You don't remember anything. You remember it was the 30th of June. Yeah, right. So obviously you peek at it beforehand and then you claim to remember, but that's not called testimony at all because the Torah doesn't allow you to testify about what you saw and information that you got. The whole point of testimony is the recreation of the scene, as we've explained so many times. You can't recreate something from data. You can only recreate something from the experience. Now, that does not mean, by the way, this is a very misleading kind of thing, as Tosis and many other Rishonim point out, you could definitely have testimony as to what I read in a shtar. Anybody can do that. In other words, you can read, together with another guy, you'll read a shtar that says some information. That shtar is subsequently lost. You can go into court and say, me and this fellow together read a shtar in which it says this. It was signed and it was also confirmed by the Bezdin. It was Mekuyam the Bezdin. That's not called creating a lie. You're just basically presenting that shtar. But when you try to present the case, you can't do that. And we're afraid that you will do that. So Memanoshach, if they remember, let them come and be made. And if they don't remember, sometimes they may come forward and claim to remember. And the Torah says you cannot rely on something that had been written down. So wait a minute. So why don't we have that problem with the Gerushin also? So then Begerushin, we should say in the case of Gerushin, what are we going to do with it? Where would we put the get? No. In the case of the Gerushin, the point is that you're trying to save her with the Gerushin. Over here, in the case of Kiddushin, if you're going to have a date, the date is what's going to get her into trouble, right? Because over here, if you've got the divorce, the thing of the date can only be in her benefit. Because if she's able to show the court that she was Megureshet in time, she could save her life. If she can't prove she was Megureshet in time, she has a chazaka that she's an Eshes Ish. So she can't save her life. So what good is it going to do? Masha Einkein, in the case of the Kiddushin, they're the ones that are going to have to prove that she was married, and therefore cutting off the date is just going to be able to help her. So there we're stuck. What would we do with it? With whom would we deposit it?